Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Wednesday to you. Not to be redundant, but Wednesdays are always enormous days here because we got a lot to get done. Welcome to the show. My name is Jim Rome. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. It's going to take me a moment. It is a hump day. It is a hump day. And I'm looking at my list of things to get done today. We got a lot to get done on this hump day. Let me quickly get at it. Start you off with the telephone number. It's toll-free. 1-800-636-8686. Why is it such a big day? I've got three interviews. I've got a beef segment. I know a lot of you are focused on that already. I'll let you know when that is. I've got the Jim Rome podcast, and not just any Jim Rome podcast, but episode number 200. I've got a lot of pride in that number. That's a big, fat number. I've mentioned this before. A lot of people will start a podcast, and they'll think, yeah, man, I can do that. That's fun. I'll do that. And then they do one, and it's great. Then they do a second one or a third one, and then it kind of peters off. And then all of a sudden, the podcast is no more. 200 Jim Rome podcasts. And I feel great about that catalog and that library. Number 200 is going to go out later on today. I have not yet done it, but I will after the program. And it's going to be with Dana White, UFC president. So Dana White will be my guest on episode number 200. On top of all of that, I've got an ATP. So let me lay the program out for you. You've got your telephone number. If you want to get yourself in the rotation, it's a little bit early for the beef segment. We are not running that until the top of hour number three. It's every single Wednesday in season, but it moves around within the program. Today, the beef segment's in hour number three. So if you want to call us something that's not beef-related, do it right now. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on social media. Also, you can beef on Twitter later on, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The interviews look like this, coming up at 40 past hour number one, an NBA reporter for the LA Times, Dan Wojcicki. We're going to talk some NBA in a minute. Coming up in the second hour, the head football coach at Wake Forest, Dave Clawson. Top of hour number three, what's your beef? In the last segment of the program today, 11:40 Pacific time, former NFLer Ryan Shazier. Ryan Shazier joins me at 11:40. Once again, the beef segment coming up at the top of hour number three. Now, what I want to do today, hit me up, start calling. I want to start the program by doing something that I have not done in quite some time. I want to start the day by talking about the Lakers. Used to be we did that all the time. Haven't done that in a minute. So the Lakers beat the Kings 117-92 last night. That's the good news. And that's pretty much the end of the good news for the Lakers. Why don't we get to the rest of it? Also yesterday, LeBron James apparently tests positive and he was sent home. Then the team falls behind by 14 to a Kings team that has already fired their head coach. And that's what this season has been for the Lakers. One kick to the package after another, repeatedly and aggressively. One package blast after another. And then they respond terribly to it. You know, your star and your leader swabs positive. He could be out for a while. And then you come out and you probably get hammered for 24 plus minutes by Sacramento. It's a bad look. In a season of bad looks already, that is a terrible look. Especially when you don't know when LeBron's going to come back. I mean, I can't believe I still have to say this, but COVID is no joke at all. Like, Joel Embiid missed more than 10% of the season with it. So, LA knows that their guy's out. They know they're going to be without this guy. They've already been without this guy for a while, but they know they're going to be without him for quite some time. Then they come out flat, and they're that jacked up in the first half against Sacramento in a game they have to have. I mean, credit, I guess, for locking down in the second half.
For real.
And coming back to win by double digits. But so far, that's all this team has done this year. Stack comeback wins against bad teams. And stack is probably too strong. There really haven't even been that many of those. Like, I know it's December 1st, and I know it's a long season, and I know you never want to jump to conclusions this early in the year, but I've got a truth for you. It's already been a long season. It's already been a long season for the Lakers, and it's only December 1st. So, since we haven't gotten into this in a moment or so, why don't we just do a really quick recap? They've had one injury after another, and some of it's basketball, and some of it is the fact that they signed a collection of extremely old dudes. So, they've been missing key pieces, but even when the pieces are there, they don't fit together. Their defense has been crappy for long stretches of the season, and their offense has been a mess. So, what do we have? They're old, they're hurt, the roster is poorly constructed, the pieces don't fit, and they're jacked up on both ends of the floor, and they don't beat anybody that matters. Other than that, everything is great. I'll tell you what we're not going to do. What we're not going to do is put all of this on Frank Vogel. Man, don't be running this dude under the bus. Now, I know somebody's going to have to pay for the garbage we're seeing right now. Garbage. It's going to cost somebody. And it's probably going to be Frank Vogel. I just know that it shouldn't be. Just like I'm pretty sure he's not the one who said at the end of last season, hey, you know what? Why don't we blow this mother bleeper up and then duct tape it back together with a bunch of parts from the 2012 All-Star game that aren't nearly what they once were and certainly will not fit now. I'm pretty sure Vogel did not think to himself, yeah, well, we were up on a good Suns team 2-1 before Anthony Davis slipped back into his street clothes.
Anthony Street Clothes Davis.
And then thought to himself, man, I can't wait to blow this crap up. No way we run this back again. When in reality, that's pretty much what they should have done. I don't think this guy is the one who thought to himself, yeah, let's go ahead and deconstruct and reconstruct and put it back together. No, I don't think that's on him. I don't think that that guy makes those decisions. That's above his pay grade. No, those decisions lie with somebody else. Those decisions lie with the GM, LeBron Lowe. Vogel's not the guy on the floor napping it out defensively nearly every single time down. He's not the guy who assembled a roster full of guys who either can't defend at that level or don't want to defend at that level. This dude's been handed 11 new players and then a truckload of injuries, and you want to blame him for the results. Yeah, I know, Laker fan. You got to blame somebody, right? And now you're coming for Vogel, the guy who led you to a ring like 5 minutes ago. I'm not saying this dude's perfect. I'm not saying this guy is the greatest coach ever. I'm not saying this guy's without blame. I'm saying he's not the one responsible for the dumpster fire you're seeing here in LA now. And sacrificing this dude is not going to fix it either. If you're saying you want to fire a dude 20 games into a season, about 5 minutes after he won a ring, you're saying that that guy either never knew how to coach or just forgot how to coach. And both those things are a joke. And apparently after seeing his team take yet another dump in its pants in the first half against the Kings last night, he had seen about enough. And essentially, Vogel told his team at halftime, get your asses in gear.
Frank, AD alluded to a halftime conversation. I wasn't sure if that was led by coaches or players. What did you see at halftime that might have sparked that second half?
Yeah, every now and then, you know, the coach has to light a fire under his team. And today was one of those games. You know, we weren't given the necessary effort in transition defense. And, you know, and with our pick and roll coverages, you know, which we talked specifically about tightening the screws on, you know, all day, you know, at shoot around, pregame. And it wasn't there in the first half. So, you know, sometimes you have to let them hear about it. And, you know, it was a spirit at halftime and those guys responded.
I'll tell you another problem this guy has. Aside from that roster that LeBron Lowe put together. The problem is, he's made it pretty clear, if you don't play defense, you're not going to play. If you don't play defense, I'm not going to play you. But the problem is, nobody plays defense. So he had had about enough. He also, not only did he light that fire and light into them apparently at halftime, he had had about enough. So he took credit for benching DeAndre Jordan after a bad start and then went with Dwight Howard for much of the game.
Just the coach's decision. I felt like Dwight was going to give us a lift in this game, and I was right. He played terrific. You know, he came in and you know, really changed the game with his energy. He him in particular in that third quarter with his pick and roll coverage. He's more familiar with what we do. So he came in and, you know, just really set a tone with physicality, with effort, communication, and obviously helped us on the boards. And, you know, you see his plus minus, a plus 27. So just a hell of a night for him.
Man, you know this guy knows that people are talking junk about him. You know this guy knows they're putting it on him. If he's saying things like, yes, I did it, and I was right, you know he's hearing it. Because that guy's not like that. Frank Vogel is not
That's right. Yeah,
I'm the one that made the decision, and by the way, I was right. The fact that we're even talking about Dwight Howard and the Lakers in a positive manner, to me, will never not be hilarious and awesome. Let me repeat that. The fact that we're talking about Dwight Howard and the Lakers in a positive manner will never, ever not be hilarious and awesome to me. Have we all forgotten what a tool this guy was the first time through? And how much everybody hated everything about his first stint here? And that somehow, some way, Dwight came back, completely reinvented himself, and instead of bringing everybody down and making everything worse, he actually made it better. And then he came back a second time, and he's doing it again. Like, the Lakers were on the verge of another embarrassing, damaging loss last night. And who did they turn to? Who did Vogel turn to when he needed somebody to pull their ass out the fire? Dwight bleeping Howard. And he did. 35 minutes, 12 points, 13 big boards, a couple of steals, two blocks, and as Vogel pointed out, freaking plus 27.
And I was right.
You were right, coach. It's as if Vogel was saying, hey man, I'm not the one to put this bleep together. Is there anyone here who gives a damn? Anyone who's going to give me more than a half-ass effort? Get the hell in there, Dwight. And then Dwight the Bully saves the day. Granted, it was only against Sacramento. Can you imagine how bad that would have been if they find out that LeBron is out and for quite some time, then they go out there and they get beaten by Sacramento and it looked like they were going to? What I'm trying to say to you is this. The Lakers have got a hell of a lot of problems right about now, but Vogel ain't one of them and neither is Dwight the Bully. Vogel is not the problem, even if ultimately he probably is going to lose his job over all their other problems. It's not his fault. If, in fact, it goes down like that, it's not his fault. Like, just put everything on Vogel. Why the hell not? Anthony Davis, a 7-footer with a brittle body, Vogel's fault. Russ Westbrook, an inability to shoot the ball consistently and not turn the ball over. That's on Vogel. LeBron, hammer-fisting Isaiah Stewart's face. Vogel, you idiot! Getting rid of key guys who are blowing up all over the league. Caruso, Julius Randle, Kuz, Vogel, 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 always Vogel. Dudes being 10 decades past their prime. I'm telling you, man, this guy's clueless. Fire his ass. You give it another month, we'll find a way to blame Vogues for Space Jam 2. Man, I know LeBron's trying, but he is having a rough summer, isn't he? His GM decisions blowing up in his face. These old dudes coming in, breaking down. And when they're not breaking down, they don't fit together. Oh, and Space Jam 2. That. Space Jam 2. Man, at least they won last night. At least they won last night. It's been a moment or two since we talked about the Lakers. I thought we should start off by talking about that. So LeBron is in the protocol, and they were getting hammered by Sacramento. The coach is taking all sorts of heat. And he turned to the one guy that he can depend on, Dwight the Bully. 1-800-636-8686.
And I was right.
Dan, you were right, coach. You were right.
That's right.
Got Dan Wojcicki coming up at 9:40. I'm sure he'll have thoughts on that and more around the NBA. Other things I want to get to today. You know, it's a good day when RG3 is in the news. RG3, what an enigma. It's one of those guys that when he starts talking, you have to consider the source. But when he starts talking, I can't look away. When he starts talking, I do consider the source. And now apparently he's got a lot to say. Now RG3 has taken to Twitter to say that he's got a tell-all book in him about the dysfunction with the Washington football team. He took to Twitter to let everybody know that that book is going to drop next summer. Then Twitter took to him to remind him how weird that looks, given that he was begging for a job from that same organization only a couple of months earlier. Like the most RG3 thing ever. Can't wait to get to that. Other things that I want to talk about. Hey, Jags fan. You thought it was a good thing, didn't you? When that college carousel started to spin, you thought to yourself, hell yeah, it's a hump day. It's our way out. This is our way to get out of Pervin Liar wrecking our franchise. Sounded good too, right? Until it wasn't. Perv says he's not going anywhere. Now, granted, that's another guy that we can never believe. Hence the gloss, Pervin Liar. Except when he says he's not going to Notre Dame, it's both rich and true. Rich in that he thinks that they may have an interest in him. True in that there is no way they would have an interest in him. You are stuck with him, Jags fan. Also, I want to talk some hockey. I pride myself on talking not only the NHL, not only talking NHL during the regular season, not only talking about it intelligently. I love the game. I do. I'm not one of those guys that only talks hockey when something whack happens.
I love when you
However,
talk hockey.
If something whack does happen, I will talk about it.
That's whack.
How about that battle between two of the legendary names of the game, Tkachuk and Lemieux? Except it's not Claude and Keith, it's their offspring. And it involves one of them biting the other. Crazy stuff. I've been trying to get to that, but the thing about not getting to that is it keeps getting better, so it's a good thing I haven't gotten to it. So I'm going to recap that as well. You had a great game last night in the NBA, which I'll get into also with Dan Wojcicki. You had NBA leaders Golden State and Phoenix getting after it. How about those Suns? 1-800-636-8686. So Dan Wojcicki at 40 past. Dave Clawson next hour. What's your beef? That segment is at 11 o'clock Pacific, 2 o'clock Eastern. Ryan Shazier coming up at 11:40 and an ATP too. Clones, the holidays are right around the corner. I know finding the perfect gift is hard to do, but I want to tell you about what I'm going to do, what I always do. I get Omaha Steaks. I've been an enormous fan for years. Long before I had any relationship with Omaha Steaks on this program, I was using the product, buying it, giving it. I love it. It makes it so easy to send friends and family the best steaks of their entire life. It's an unforgettable gift, guaranteed to be loved and shared. What you want to do is go to omahasteaks.com, enter Rome in the search bar to order the perfect gift package. Check this out. For $99.99, you'll get 24 entrees, like the world-famous bacon-wrapped fillets, chicken breasts, sides, desserts, and so much more. Believe this, I am the grill master in my home. I can tell you these fillets cook to absolute perfection. Omaha Steaks is fully stocked and they are ready to ship. Achieve gifting greatness. Order the perfect gift package right now at omahasteaks.com with 8 free burgers by entering Rome in the search bar. Perfectly aged, tender, and 100% guaranteed. That's omahasteaks.com. Make sure to use the search word Rome, R-O-M-E, omahasteaks.com, search word Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
What's cracking? Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live in Southern California. Again, I'm looking for telephone calls. Pretty good reaction so far on social media. Most of you cracking your jokes about Frank Vogel. Like, I'm serious. I'm not making jokes about this. This guy can coach. And I want to make that point in 1 second and read some of your reaction. First, really quickly, you know I'm always looking out for you. Let's talk for 1 second before I get back to this about the most creative sports betting app on the market, WynnBET. Notice we talk more about this action on the show, in large part because of WynnBET. The luxury hoteliers are now in the digital sports betting space. They're offering the same five-star service that you're used to from Wynn Resorts, all in the form of a sports book and a casino app. So whether you're playing money lines and props for NFL Week 13 or totals and live betting for college football Week 14, WynnBET has you covered. All the biggest events are right here at WynnBET, and they've added a search bar to help you navigate the app because some of you are new to it. It gets better. WynnBET is also fully integrated with Wynn Rewards. What that means is they've got the best loyalty program in the industry. You go to their site, check out the details. Whether playing from your phone or your computer, you've absolutely got to sign up for WynnBET ASAP. Bet with the very best. Get into the game. The offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. You do have to be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, so quickly, I mentioned some of the reaction is like this. Dear Jim, hell yes, Frank Vogel can coach. Like you said, dude just won a ring. Enough said. Signed, Ed O.
Sissy blue shirt.
Casey in New Hampshire. Yeah, nice try with that, Case. Listen, this guy can coach.
And I was right.
Really well. He did win a ring like 5 minutes ago. He did a hell of a job with the Pacers. He did a tremendous job without LeBron in AD last season. This dude is a really good coach. This is not on him. Like Coach O. I don't see Vogel showing up at gas stations and hitting on Laker executives' wives. All right, don't be comparing this guy to Coach O. Man, stop doing that. This guy damn near beat the Heatles. Remember the Heatles? He damn near beat the Heatles while he was in Indiana. This guy can flat out coach. So that's lazy, and that's fat, and that's convenient, and it's just wrong. It's just a bad take. Coach O, on the other hand, didn't have that kind of background or track record. Coach O was 10-25 at Ole Miss, as an example. So don't point to Coach O and say, yeah, Rome, you're right. He can coach. He won a ring. Signed, Coach O. Casey, I'm going to give you a grade for that take. F. Give me an A or give me an F, Casey. F. Nice try with that. It's lazy, man. It's lazy and it's wrong. Why do you think I spend as much time off the very top defending this guy? Hey, Rome, Frank Vogel is not the problem, but I can make it look like he is. Signed, The Splicer. Brian C. and SP. Jim, it's not like the Lakers won't fire a head coach this soon. Just ask Mike Brown. Oh, I know they will. One, they have. And two, I know they will. I'm not saying that Vogel is going to get fired right now. I'm saying there's a lot of heat on this guy. And that ultimately somebody's going to pay the price. And it's going to be this guy, but it's not his fault. Mike Brown, if memory serves, got fired 5 games in to the 2020 or 2012 season. Hey, Jim. Firing Frank Vogel will solve the Lakers' problems. Signed, people who say thoughts and prayers. Steven PHX, now we're getting dicey. Were the Lakers trading for Udonis Haslam and LaMarcus Aldridge? UD ain't coming here. I wish he would. He's not coming here, man. My man is the ultimate embodiment of the Heat. I wish he would come here. Hey, Tan Man, thanks for mentioning the Kings during the opening block. Even though it was short and negative, they can use any jungle karma you can give. Signed, Mario and SF, longtime Suffering Kings fan. Unwar Valley Crop Dusters. That's pretty funny. Thanks for mentioning them, even though it was short and negative. Look, I'm not here to pile on Sacramento. I love Sacramento. I even love the Kings. Some of my finest memories of my entire career, literally, are Sacramento-based. Arguably, two of the greatest tour stops ever were in Sacramento. Sacramento is such an important market for me. I take no glee or I take no happiness in piling on Sacramento. In fact, I didn't pile on Sacramento. I just said that the Lakers, who were legitimate contenders coming into the season, that if they lost last night to Sacramento right after finding out they lost LeBron, it would have made a bad season even worse. That's all I said. I'm not piling on Sacramento. But you're welcome. You're welcome. Glad I could pick you up by mentioning your team. And then finally this. Jimmy. Psst, please.
Please.
Unreal. Le Crybaby James. All of a sudden has COVID. Yeah, right. He just didn't want the smoke from Isaiah Stewart. Signed, Sammy from H-Town.
Unreal.
Great take, Sam. Except he did face and beat the Pistons Sunday, right? And I think Isaiah had 5 points and LeBron had 33. So, number one, I don't think that he was trying to get out of facing Stewart. And number two, I don't think the guy faked COVID.
That's what?
You really think that LeBron thought to himself, man, this season's going right down the toilet, but man, I don't want that smoke. How do I get out of this? Oh, I know. I'll fake COVID. And I'll fake a positive test, which means that if I test positive, then I got to go into the protocol. And if I got to go into the protocol, I don't just miss Stewart because I want to miss him. I don't want that smoke. I miss 10 days. And during those 10 days, I can't have any physical activity at all. Good take, Sammy. He faked the vid. Clones, man. All right, but you are my clones. And stop saying, you can say what you want about LeBron, and I'm not saying you can't be critical of LeBron. I've hyped the guy. I've been critical of the guy. I've never once accused the guy of faking COVID. That much, I know for certain that's not true. Wells wants in. Rome. LeBron tested positive for being a flopping baby and making a horrible movie. All right, that's half correct.
Me?
And in terms of him being, quote, a flopping baby, yeah. For a guy his size, with his aggression, he does get moved off his spot sometimes. But a flopping baby is a bit much. Making a horrible movie, however, is not enough. It's worse than a horrible movie. It's one of the worst movies ever. How you take a brilliant, brilliant movie like Space Jam. I mean, a brilliant movie. Space Jam 1 is just one of the finest movies ever. And then chase that with one of the worst movies ever really is unfortunate. All right, when we come back, different point of view. Dan Wojcicki joins me. That's coming up next. If you want in on the beef segment, still too soon.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Rolling right through hour number one, I mentioned that I want to do something at the top of the program that I've not done in a minute or two, and that's talk about the LA Lakers. I want to talk more about them right now, and the association joining us is somebody who covers the Lakers and the NBA for the Los Angeles Times. He was a panelist on our daily TV show back in the day. He is Dan Wojcicki. Dan, good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, what's there to talk about with the Lakers?
Yeah, not much going on, right?
pretty ho-hum start to the year.
Where do we start with the Lakers? Why don't we start, Dan, good to have you back. Why don't we start first with the year they're having, the fact that LeBron James is entering COVID protocol. Let me ask you this. Like, Joel Embiid missed 9 games following a positive test result, and from the sounds of it, had a really miserable time. If everything were to go well for LeBron, how much time do you expect him to miss, and what's your reaction to that news?
Yeah, I mean, I think my reaction, first of all, is that I'm not surprised, right? Like, obviously, like, the pandemic is still happening. You know, people who are vaccinated still test positive for this. What I can tell you, Jim, is that, you know, LeBron, like Anthony Davis said last night, LeBron is asymptomatic. And typically, you know, an asymptomatic test, at least early in the season, would have happened. That, you know, because LeBron is a vaccinated player, you don't undergo the same kind of testing where they underwent last year. But because of Thanksgiving and stuff like that, and kind of a fear that stuff like this could happen, you know, the league started testing players who were asymptomatic. LeBron's test came back positive, and sort of here we are. So I'm not that surprised that it happened. Obviously, you know, when it happens to LeBron James, it certainly adds a new element to all of this, but you know, as far as the best case scenario goes, he remains asymptomatic. He's able to get back into the gym here in a few days. And then, you know, you start waiting either for 2 negative tests 24 hours apart or a 10-day minimum. So, you know, maybe they only play 3 times each of the next 2 weeks. Maybe it's 5 games, maybe it's 6 games. But you really don't know. You just hope that, I mean, beyond the basketball stuff, you hope that symptoms don't develop. And then, you know, from a basketball standpoint, if the symptoms don't develop, you know, maybe this isn't that long of a thing.
We're talking to Dan Wojcicki. It's well said. So, Dan, the Lakers get that news. Then they go out and they do what they've done for a while, right? They go out and they play terribly against a bad team for more than a half. Like, how do you explain that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sort of who they've been, right? I mean, I think that's – I mean, the Lakers have not played like a good team really since the playoffs last season, since game 3 of the playoffs last season. It's funny, Jim. I was sitting there at Staples Center – I can still call it Staples Center for another 2 weeks. I was sitting there.
Or as long as you want.
I was sitting out there watching, the Lakers going a 16-0 run on Sunday, and you're like, wow, this is the best stretch of basketball that they've played maybe all year. And then you look across the court, and you see it's against a 4-win Pistons team, and you try to kind of you try to balance those two things, right? You try to say, like, how much of this is the Lakers turning a corner? How much is this that they're playing bad teams? Because that's sort of the dirty little secret of this Lakers season so far, Jim, is that they've played a pretty soft schedule, right? Like, they have not played good teams, and it's looked really, really hard almost every night that they've played. Last night against Sacramento, just a miserable first half. They looked like a group that had never met each other before. Guys, no spacing whatsoever, not getting any stops, getting beat on like rudimentary basketball plays, like the pick and roll, right? Little play that's only been around the NBA for, 60 years. It's like they've never tried to guard it before. And then I would say if you're looking for like crumbles of optimism though, like they have for maybe the last 3 weeks, like they actually adjusted well. And we're a totally different team in the second half and, kind of one-upped what we saw in Detroit. I mean, played just terrific in the third quarter and closed out a game and really kind of had their easiest win of the season. And maybe you're starting to see some signs of positivity. It's so hard to tell because the schedule's been incredibly kind to them.
I was going to say, Dan, like maybe if you're an optimist maybe. And you want to see something positive, but then you remember it's against Sacramento. Then you remember how bad they were in the first half. Then you remember that Frank Vogel said, I had to light another fire under them in that game at intermission. Like, it seemed kind of strange at the time to completely wreck a team and demolish last year's roster. A few months on, how does that decision look to you now, and what was the motivation behind that strategy?
Well, I mean, I think to kind of answer that backwards, I mean, the motivation was scenarios just like this, right, where LeBron James is getting older. They saw what and look, for them to win a title, they know they need LeBron James not only to be on the court but to be healthy. But to kind of navigate a regular season, you know, they felt like they last year when LeBron James and Anthony Davis both were out, that they just simply didn't have enough star power, right? They didn't have enough to get it done. They're the Lakers. Like, there is, like, sort of there's like a reverse Outland Mall mentality, right, where it's like you pay extra for the name brand labels.
Right.
Sometimes in
right.
Los Angeles. And sort of, you have an opportunity to get, a future Hall of Famer in Russell Westbrook, and that's what he is, one of the 75 best players ever to play the game, and that is what he is. He's probably one of the 10 most confusing players ever to play the game, too. But you get a chance to add sort of another superstar, and this is sort of like, the Lakers' MO. 23 games in or wherever we're at right now, they decimated their depth, Jim. And I think beyond the Westbrook acquisition, like you're looking at a team that made the gamble to kind of trade defense for offense when it comes to role players. And the bad news has been is that the offense has been bad. Like, it has not been a good offense. There's no spacing. They play in the shoebox functionally every night on offense because you don't have to guard Russell Westbrook. And look, the Lakers are kind of tweaking things, and I think, over the last couple of weeks have experimented with some lineups that have looked a little bit better. I think they're going to have to go smaller more consistently just to get themselves more spacing, which was kind of the plan originally. But, all the injuries that they've had have sort of slowed that down. But, yeah, to me, this seems more like a construction problem than a management issue in terms of Frank Vogel. But Vogel is not to be fully absolved in any of this either. I mean, like, they're still starting DeAndre. They started DeAndre Jordan last night. They've been starting Avery Bradley. The numbers on Avery Bradley have been very, very bad. But, what Frank Vogel would tell you is, like, he tries hard on defense. And this is a team that needed to have someone on the court who tries hard on defense. It really is sort of like a boat that has holes in it, in six different places. And it feels like to plug one, you've got to take in water somewhere else.
Dan Wojcicki is joining us. All right, Dan, so we talk about that at great length. In the meantime, you've got Golden State and Phoenix playing last night. Now they're both 18-3. What was your biggest takeaway from that game last night?
I mean, just how much better they are than everybody else in the conference, first of all, right? That these teams are at a different level than everybody else. I think Phoenix, to me, has cemented itself as a real contender in the West, which seems like a silly thing to say based on, the fact that they won the conference last year. They played in the NBA Finals and were up 2-0 in the NBA Finals. But I think within the league, a lot of people viewed last season as a fluky year in a lot of ways, right? And because of, no crowds, because of the pandemic, because of the sort of carryover effects of the bubble and the compressed off season, a lot of really smart people smarter than me, would say that, people who put an asterisk on the bubble season were missing the point, that the year after was always going to be the weirder season. Right. And it kind of borne out to be a pretty weird season. I think Phoenix is for real. They've got terrific length. Mikal Bridges is just a fantastic defender, the kind of versatile defender that you need in the playoffs that you can put on a Steph Curry. Look, you're not going to shut down Steph Curry to the extent that he did last night, every night, but you can make life more complicated. And I think that's what Mikal Bridges did. They've got a lot of playable pieces, and look, credit to the Suns. They've weathered some injuries to their depths, and they still kind of figure it out. And then you look at the Warriors, a team that plays with so much freedom and joy in Steve Kerr's system. I think there's been a little bit of a referendum on Steve Kerr as a head coach. I think that, it's easy to kind of look at the talent they've had and say, oh, this is just like a roll the ball out on the court situation. But I mean, I think they play with a really definitive style and energy, and good on Steve Kerr, good on Draymond Green, good on Steph Curry for implementing that with another interesting group of players. And, those teams to me are head and shoulders above everybody else in the Western Conference. Right.
And then Clay comes back. James Wiseman will be back really quickly.
Sure.
Really quickly, Dan. What do you like? Say what you want, not you, but many will, about CP3 and his play in the finals. Is there anybody aging better than this guy? And what do you make of his play at this point in his career?
Well, other than the two of us, Jim, I think, he is, he is in like fine wine territory right now. I mean, it's just his game has always been sort of based. I mean, he's not, Chris would tell you, right? Like, he's not an athletic guy necessarily, right? Like, I mean, this is somebody who, you know, you hear stories about like LeBron James and like playing football and other people like doing things like that. Like, what's Chris Paul's favorite thing to do in his leisure time is to go bowling.
Right.
Like that speaks to sort of, I think, you know, the kind of general like explosive athlete that he is.
Twitchy.
Look, he's incredibly quick. He's incredibly smart. He's incredibly sort of addicted to winning situations. So he will do anything, right? Like this is a like slit your throat kind of competitor. Like he will do whatever it takes to get an edge. And his game has aged so well. It's incredible. Like, you know, there was a time in the league where like Chris Paul was like the untradeable contract, right? Like nobody wants to pay this guy when he's 40. I think right now I can think of a lot of teams that would line up to pay this guy at 40 years old. He's such a wonderful, it reminds me sort of like Broncos Peyton Manning, like still, right? Like maybe it's not quite what it used to be, but man, the command of everything is just so spot on. And that's what you see. I mean, no team takes on an identity like the way a Chris Paul team takes on. He makes you serious right away, and Phoenix is embracing.
No doubt. He covers the Lakers and the NBA for the LA Times. He was a panelist on the Daily TV show back in the day, and he is aging brilliantly. He is Dan Wojcicki. Dan, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. Great to have you back.
Thanks, Jim.
Always good talking to you, Dan. Have a great day. Dan Wojcicki joining us. Like I said about CP3, like, Dan said he's the kind of guy that is just addicted to winning and will do anything, including slit your throat. I know, clones. Yeah, or punch you in the junk. I know. But I'm telling you, the guy, I see almost no slippage. Nobody is aging better than CP3. He looks unbelievable still yet. Second hour is coming up. Remember, the beef segment is at the top of hour number 3.